Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Yod Bet. Kuf Yod Aleph Amud Bet. In continuing our analysis of the first Mishnah, looking at the second group of Nochalin Velomanchilin, we already looked at a man inheriting from his mother and what the source of that was, the Machloket, Zechari ben HaKatzav and the Chachamim, about the role of a girl in inheriting from her mother, if there's a brother, and now, Vahishad Ishto, that a man inherits from his wife. And Hanimili, how do we know that a man inherits from his wife? Tan Rabbanan, She'ero, remember the last pasuk in our sequence of Yorshim is She'ero. She'ero, Zu Ishto, that's a reference to his wife. And we saw earlier that She'er, really the closest meaning to it, Tanakh is not father or mother, but rather is wife or husband. I might think that she inherits from him. In other words, if a husband predeceases his wife, she gets the property. He shall inherit from her. Now, ota really is a reference to the nachala, but that's how we're understanding the use of ota here, to say he inherits from her. Now, ha'kray lav ha'chiktivi. The problem is the sequence of the pasuk is the exact opposite, and that is that a person shall give his inheritance to She'ero. So that would mean that the wife would dafka inherit from the husband and not the opposite, but of course that's not the case. So how do we understand it? Rabaye Tari Tzachi. So read the pasuk as follows. Look at the pasuk and then listen to this. You know, there's two different things going on in the pasuk. Not one, give the inheritance to whoever's closest, after uncles, if there's no son, daughter, brothers, father, uncles, give it to whoever next is closest. And secondly, she'ero v'yarashota. And as far as his wife goes, he inherits from her. Amarava sakina harifa mifsaka krai. He said, you're chopping up the psukim with a very sharp knife, but that's not legitimate. Now, Rava agrees that we have to read the pasuk differently than it is, so he makes a finer chop. Ela amar Rava hachikamar, unetatem et nachlato she'ero lo, and nachlatat she'ero lo. So in other words, instead of unetatem et nachlato lish'ero, it's nachlat she'ero lo. So what does that mean? Kasavra gorin wasifin v'dorshin. So Rava evidently holds that it's legitimate to take a letter from one word in a pasuk and move it to another word. In other words, nachlato, lishero, take the vav off nachlato, and the lamra off lishero, and then put it as lo, nachalat shero lo. That's a legitimate vehicle for drasha. Now, we have another Tana, who has another source for a husband inheriting from his wife. Tanya, v'yarash ota, v'lamei chaval yarash tishto, divir v'kivra. V'kivra learns it straight up from our pasuk. V'shmoel omer eno tzarich, and he brings a series of psukim. Harehu Omer, and he quotes from the case at the end of Bamidbar with Bnei Yosef. The rule is V'chol bat yoreshet nachala mimatot Bnei Yisrael, l'chad mishpachat beit aviyah t'yel isha, that she has to marry within her family. Basavat habal katu medaber. Said what that's talking about is property that's going to switch tribes because the daughter will get it, and then her husband will get it from her, and it'll go to a different tribe, which is why she has to marry within her tribe, to see that the husband inherits. Ve'omer, v'lotisov nachalal v'nei yisrael matel matet. That, to make sure the property does not switch from tribe to tribe. Ve'omer, v'lotisov nachalal matel matet acher. There are two psukim, 3 and 4 on the page, that say essentially the same thing. We want to make sure that property does not go from tribe to tribe. Ve'omer, at the very end of Yeshua, ve'elazar ben Aaron meit v'ikburoto v'givat pinchas beno. That when Elazar died, he was buried in the area owned by his son Pinchas. How could Pinchas have anything that his father didn't have? It must be that Pinchas married a woman, she had property, she died, he inherited it, his father never had it, and that's why it's called Kivat Pinchas. When Divrei Hayamim, in telling the story of Bnei Menashe, says that Zguv had Yair, and Yair had 23 cities in Gilad. And the same sort of question comes up, which is, "B'chiminayin liYair shelo hayalu liskuv." So, why did Yair have anything that his father didn't have? Same thing. Now, the question is, why you need 6 psukim here? My v'yomer. So, let's go back. Once you have the Kobat Yoreshet Nachala, Wadin Velotiso, Tem Sibata Ben Kaka Pikra, maybe the problem there in Benot Slavchad is not their husbands will inherit, but rather that they will marry and they'll have a son and the son will inherit, and we know a son inherits from the mother, that we already established. Well, Baal lo yarit, but maybe husband does not inherit from his wife. Toshma Velotisov Nachala Nesom Matel Mate. Therefore, we have the second pasuk, which is, make sure that territory does not move, transfer from one tribe to another. So maybe that pasuk is just there to tell you that there is not only an asay, that they should yidbeku, that they should stay with their tribe in order to keep territorial integrity, but also there's a lav, prohibition involved in marrying out of the tribe when it will cause territory to go, but it's still all because of the son. Toshma, lotisov nachala matel mate acher. You have the same instant, the same mention. Chiteima, and then you might think, lavor lav shnei lavin vasei. It's just there to pile on the lavim. There's two lavim, two prohibitions of marrying out of the tribe, which will cause the property to leave, plus the asay that it should stay within the tribe. Toshma, velazov an aron mate. Then we have the pasuk from Yehoshua. Chiteima, lazarhu denasiv itata. Maybe it didn't happen like that. Maybe in the case of Elazar, he married a woman from another tribe, umeita, she died via tapinchas. In other words, it would prove the opposite, that Elazar did not inherit from his wife, but rather his wife bequeathed to their son, Pinchas, which we've already established. Toshma uskuvo lidit yair. So therefore we have the last pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Chite mahatav nami hachihu. So maybe that's the same thing happened, that Yair married, so the skuv married a woman from another tribe, and she died, and it came to Yair. Or not even from another tribe, just married, and the property came to the son, and it didn't come to the husband. So why would the Tanakh tell us two of the same story? Oh, that proves that it must be at some point along the line that the husband inherited from the wife. So somewhere in there we have proof. A mother papa labai. So her papa asked the bai the following thing. Maybe all of these psukim that Rabbi Shmuel brought, we still don't know that the husband inherits. And perhaps all the psukim are all about the son inheriting, and the concern is if she marries someone from another tribe, the son will belong to that other tribe, and he will inherit. And how did then? Why is Yair? If Yair dissolved in Mizban, Yair simply bought property. You could buy property from somebody else. Well, Pinchas Nami dissolved in Mizban, and Pinchas also bought property. Now, Abaye answered, Amarle, Pinchas dissolved in Mizban, Lomatsi Damart. That Yair bought property, you could say. But the Pinchas property can't say, because after all, Elazar is buried there. Because the Imkanim say Tzadeh Choser at Yovel, because he bought property at Yovel, it's going to go back to the original family. And what's going to happen after, when Yovel comes, Elazar is going to end up being buried and not being able to move, obviously, in a grave that no longer belongs to the family. So there's no way that Pinchas bought property from somebody else, and that's where he buried his father. Somebody else, meaning somebody else who's Jewish. But there's another possibility that our Papa says. Maybe Pinchas, being a Kohen, got one of the gifts of Kohuna, which is if somebody dedicates their field, becomes Chayram, and it goes to the Kohanim. And it's never going to go back, not in Yovel. And maybe that's where he buried Elazar. And maybe the reason he got it was not because Elazar inherited, that Pinchas married a woman and inherited from her when she died, and Elazar never saw it. Maybe Pinchas got it some other way. So Abayin here says something which the Rishonim are very divided on, whether or not it's a response to Rav Papa, in which case the girsa that we have in front of us doesn't really work well, or it's a separate statement. In other words, that was the end of that road. But either way, it's difficult. Amar Abay, sof sof, hakamit akra nachala mishifta de'ima l'shifta de'aba. So Abayin seems to be asking just a question on the solution that Moshe provides, which is, if a girl inherits from her mother from one tribe and her father from one tribe, which remember in a daf ago we said was the case at the end of Bamidbar, because we said kolbat yoreshet nachala mimatot bnei Yisrael, which means that her mother and father from different tribes, it doesn't matter who she marries, either way the property has already gone over from the mother to the father, or to the mother to the daughter, who is now part of the father's tribe. So even if she marries somebody from the same tribe that she's in, doesn't help. So Abaye then perhaps is on his own considering, or perhaps this is Rav Papa, Say there, it's too late. In other words, the mother married father, and mother had her own property for some reason, and that property now has been lost to that tribe. That's already happened. Our concern now is how to make sure that there's territorial integrity from here on in. So his response, Abai's response evidently was that we don't say such a thing. In other words, we don't say, oh, it's already lost. If you say that Kfar Usabah was already lost, then you could explain that our psukim are concerned with both the son transferring it and the husband transferring it, again proving that husband does inherit. But if you don't have that consideration, and you say that we still have to make sure that it doesn't transfer, if she marries somebody in her father's family, it still doesn't help. It already got transferred from her mother to her father, and therefore, whoever she marries, it's going to go away from mother's tribe. So the answer that he provides is, that we make sure that she doesn't just marry somebody who's from her father's tribe. She has to marry somebody whose mother is from her mother's tribe and whose father is from her father's tribe, so that the property will sort of stay where it was. Then the pasuk should say that she has to marry somebody from her mother and father's tribe. No, if it said that, I would think even the opposite, that she could marry somebody whose mother's from her father's tribe and her father's from her mother's tribe, and that would really mess things up. Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Torah just said she has to marry somebody from her father's tribe, but somehow we would know that it's also mother's. But the reality is, of course, she only has to marry somebody from her father's tribe because Kfar Husaba, whatever switched over when her mother married her father, that's done. Our concern here is now that her tribal integrity should be maintained by staying within her father's tribe. Now, Tanya Vesibata Ben, Tanya Vesibata Va. We have a Braita that supports the concern that the son inheriting will move the territory, and one that supports the concern that the husband inheriting will move the property, thus again supporting the idea, Rabbi Shmuel's series of psukim. It's somewhere within here. We have the notion that the husband inherits from the wife, and therefore property transfers through him. Tani v'sibata ben, let's see this one. L'lotitzov nachalal v'nei Yisrael mimateh el mateh. That's pasuk 3 on the page. V'sibata ben akatub medaber. Tom v'sibata ben, I know v'sibata ben, maybe that's the husband's transfer. Right, that's already the husband. So what do I do with that pasuk? In other words, I've got two psukim. One of them is about the son being the vehicle for transfer of property. Through him, it'll go to another tribe. And the other being that it will transfer through the husband. Now, Tanya Idach, we have the other Braita, which simply does the same thing in reverse. Good. Okay, so basically, these Braitot are totally in harmony. They each use one Pasuk, and see, the other Pasuk is being for the other thing, and they both agree. Pasuk number 3 on the page is for Ben. Pasuk number 4 is for the Baal. The only question is the starting point. Now, the Kuli Alma Miat Matel Lemate Acher Sivata Baal Katub Medaber. Everybody agrees that the Pasuk says, make sure the property does not transfer from one tribe to another tribe, is referring to the husband's vehicle, being the vehicle of transfer. Now, my Mashva, how'd they figure out that Pasuk is the one about the husband, the other one's about the son? Siman. Amar Rabba Barav Shila Amar Kra Ish. Because it says in the pasuk ish, so it must be referenced. The pasuk reads, right, as an example. Problem with that is, so ish seems to be an allusion to marriage. The answer is tavayu ish k'tibu. They both say ish. I bolded them on the page. Right, ish b'mateh avotav yidbeku, that he should stay with the cleave to his own family. Tavayu yidbeku k'tiv, they both say that. Elam arav amakra yidbeku matot. In other words, it says yidbeku matot in that second pasuk. And how do tribes get cleaved to each other? That is through marriage. Okay. Ravashi Amari has a different take. Amar Kra mimate limate acher. That in that pasuk it says it should not go from one tribe to an acher tribe. Uven lav acheru. A son is not acher to his mother, whereas the husband is acher to her, to his wife. Okay, Amar Rabbi Avraham, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Yonai, Amar Rabbi, who matu ba mishmei Rabbi Shuvan le men korcha. Some people quote Rabbi Shuvan korcha on this. Minayin le baal she'inono tel b'ra'ui kivamuchzak. How do we know that a husband does not take property b'ra'ui as he does with muchzak? Meaning that a husband can only inherit from his wife things that she owned when she died, not things that would come to her after death. Just like a b'chor no tel pishnayim. She'nemar uskuv holidit ya'ir v'ailo asrim v'shalosh arim b'eretz ha'gilad. We use that same pasuk about skuv to prove this other point, which is that Zguv never could have inherited property from his wife unless it was property that came to her while she was alive. How did Yair have anything that Zguv didn't have? The father married a woman. She died before, let's say, her father died. Then her father died. Father, brothers, whoever it is who would be a funnel for stuff coming to her. And it came to her son, not to her husband, because the husband does not get stuff that comes to the wife after the wife's death. V'yomer, we also have the pasuk about Elazar ben Aharon, meit veik v'roto. Minayin pinchas shel ayah le'Elazar, meit v'nasa Elazar isha, meit v'chayim o'isha, meit v'isha v'yasha pinchas. So we have to say the same thing with pinchas. Umay v'yomer, why do we need two psukim? V'chi teme ya'ir da v'nasi, itata meita v'yarta. Because maybe in the case in Divramim, Ya'ir, the son was the one who married a woman. She died and he inherited from her. And that's how he got it. Talmud Lomar, Elazar ben Aharon mate. Chitim and Anafal Ebistei Charamim. So you might argue in the case, like we just said, the way Pinchas got it was not because Elazar married a woman and the woman's Morishim outlived her. She died, then they died, and so then it didn't come to him, it came to his son. Tamakra, but no. Nachal Ruyalo Vyarsha, but no. That's why it says, Begiva Pinchas, but no. We all know that Pinchas is Elazar's son. Why does it say Givat Pinchas Beno? To tell you that this is something that's a normal, this property is a normal Yerusha property. But the only reason it didn't come to Elazar himself was because it came through his wife. This is a different take than we had earlier. Came through his wife. But her Morishim had died after she died. She died, then her father who had this property died. So it did not come to the husband, Elazar, rather it came to Pinchas, and that's a limitation on Yerusha Tabal. Okay, we'll pause at this point at the bottom of Daf, Kuf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph. Pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have one.